Pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are happy to come in Jesus' name, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we come tonight for this happy occasion and what it represents not only in the lives of these men, but what it represents in the ongoing affairs of your kingdom. And your promise to raise up men to preach and to take your word to the ends of the earth. And we ask that this night will be a very notable night for them. We are mindful of the work, the dedication, the sacrifice that has gone into everything leading up to this night. And we pray your blessings upon us as we gather. Give us hearts to sing praise to a God who is worthy. Lord, give us hearts eager even to overhear, as it were, a challenge from your word to these men, that our own souls will be challenged. Bless these moments, we ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.
Unite our hearts in prayer. Let's all seek God's face together. Eternal God and Father in heaven, we with great boldness approach the throne this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. He is all of our righteousness. We rejoice that we stand complete in Him, accepted in the Beloved, righteous as our Savior Himself. We thank Thee, our God, there came a day when a preacher preached to us the gospel, the great glorious news of free and saving grace. We thank Thee that day that Thou didst give us ears to hear like never before, that through that man standing up, a clay pot though he be, Thou didst fill him with the wonderful treasure. And he proclaimed, thus saith the Lord. And Father, we thank Thee that those here who know Thee can say, the Lord save me, I heard the word and he saved me. Tonight we thank thee that thou art still the one who is in the work of saving sinners. We know, our God, that that will never happen apart from the preaching of the word, because thou hast said it is through the foolishness of preaching that the lost are saved. Thou art the only one who can actually send a man out, equip him and fill him with the Spirit of God. And tonight, Lord, we bless thee that we've reached an occasion that thou hast prepared men academically to go out into this world and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. O our God, there is no greater privilege than to be a preacher of Christ and his boundless love. We ask, Father in heaven, that thou wilt from this night forward, in a very special and unique way, put thy hand upon these men's hearts and upon their minds. We want, Lord, to see them go out and enjoy the success of the gospel preacher. For thou art the one who said that thou dost always cause them to triumph in Christ. Guide them, we pray, in their futures. May they have a burning zeal, of which Wesley wrote in this hymn, a desire to see those lost sinners undone, unable to save themselves, quite content to go to hell. O God, we pray that thou wilt send them forth to preach Christ crucified, and thou wilt bless that preaching with souls brought into the kingdom, surely by the grace and power of God. We need thy presence tonight in this place. It's thy presence that makes the feast. May our eyes be upon the Lord himself. May our Savior be exalted. And we go out of here with a fresh zeal to live for the Lord, to die for the Lord, to proclaim this glorious truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For our scripture reading this evening, please turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. A familiar passage, but one very fitting for this occasion. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we will begin to read in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all also that love his appearing.
Thank you.
Well, let me welcome you this evening to this commencement service for Geneva Reformed Seminary. I think it's been either 3 or 4 years since we've had a commencement service. These men have been laboring along the way before this night, though. But you know that there have been a lot of changes in our seminary in the last few years, most notably the loss of Dr. Allison, president of our seminary just last year. And I want to say, with regard to that, several words really of thanks. Jennifer Knutson, I'm looking and not finding her, but the secretary for the seminary, she's carried a lot of load for me and others over these last years, really. Our seminary committee, the chairman of that, Jeff Bannister, could not be with us tonight. He and others send their apologies for that, men that have taken part in the training of these men. They want to send their greetings, but I do want to give a special word of thanks to Jeff tonight as well. He's helped me very, very much over this last year in just trying to make things work. So very grateful for these men. But I also want to say a word of thanks. It's kind of an unusual thing. We'll say more on the students in a moment, but a word of thanks to you men, because this class in particular has lived through the transition. There have been a lot of changes. There have been a lot of things that were done in unusual ways. You've had classes that are live. You've had classes that you zoomed into. You've had classes where the teacher was there. You've had classes where the teacher zoomed into you. And you've had schedule changes and several other things. But we thank you for your patience, for your hard work, and we add you to those thanks this evening. But I want to, just in this brief moment, say something about what has led to this evening. Our brother mentioned in the opening prayer the call of God. And each of you men have sensed the call of God to gospel ministry and service and have spent these years in preparation to that end. But with that call and your individual preparations, there have been other things that have gone into that as well on the part of others. The help of God's people and your families, in some cases your wives, I guess in all cases now. This gentleman here came as a single man, but has now joined the married men among the graduating class. But I know they have carried a lot of load as well as you. Not perhaps all the studying. Hopefully they didn't take any of your exams for you, unbeknownst to us. But other extended family, and many of those gathered here with us tonight, we thank you for your help to these men in many ways, prayerfully, most of all, to bring them to this night, but also the work that you men have put in. Now, I'm not the preacher this evening. You've heard me preach enough in class. Leave the notes and start preaching. But there are two verses that I want to share with you on this occasion in your lives. You will, I hope, have heard me reference these verses already in the classroom. But again, this time from 1 Timothy, Paul says this in chapter 4. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I thought about that phrase, that thy profiting may appear to all. Our world and the media take a field day when a minister of the gospel falls into sin. Well, far beyond keeping yourselves, taking heed to yourselves and to the doctrine, there hopefully will be some profiting that has taken place from your study. And remember, this is commencement. This is the beginning. And you will learn, I trust, that your studies are just beginning. But make use of these things. You see the note on the back of this program about the seminary being like a tool shed. You've just gathered tools, really, during this time to use and further study, that your profiting might be owned of God and observed by others and benefit them. We urge you with expectancy to do that and to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. We come tonight to confer 2 degrees. 3 of our men are receiving a Bachelor of Divinity degree, 1 receiving a Master of Divinity. So I'm going to ask the candidates for the degree Bachelor of Divinity if they would stand. And brethren, I speak on behalf of all of the faculty that have trained you. It's been a privilege to open the Scriptures with you, to seek to instruct you in the things of the Lord. It's my privilege now, as the president of the seminary, to confer upon you the degree Bachelor of Divinity. I'm ready to call you Anthony. I see it is in your middle name. But Frankie DiDerno, whom I've known mainly from a computer screen over the last couple of years, it has been a joy to teach you and to have you present with us in the seminary. We look forward to your work in our churches in Canada. If you'll come at this time, I'm very happy to present you with your diploma and trust the Lord's blessing, Frankie, upon you in these days ahead. Congratulations. Logan, if you would join me here. It's been a privilege to meet you over these years, to know something of your testimony before coming into the seminary, the call of God in your life, to have you in the classroom, see your zeal for the Lord. And I guess you're remaining here a little season as well, so the people aren't quite finished with you yet. Maybe they'll work off some of the rough edges we couldn't finish with. I won't ask why the laughter came, but... Brother, it is a privilege to grant you your diploma as well. The Lord bless you, brother. John, if you would join me here. John, it was a privilege to get to know you at our minister's weeks of prayer several years ago. Many will not know, but John was a Baptist minister in northern Maine, but felt a kindred spirit with us in coming into the doctrines of grace, joined with us in our seasons of prayer, and ultimately felt the Lord's call to come alongside us and minister in our denomination. Privilege to see the gracious way in which you made that transition with your own people. And I know your heart to go back to New England and serve the Lord in that most needy place. It's been a joy to have you in the classroom, a joy to pray with you. It is a privilege to grant you your diploma and to trust and pray the Lord's blessing on you as you serve. As I said, we have one candidate tonight for the Master of Divinity. I'll ask Brother Benjamin Thomas to stand. You brethren may be seated. Benjamin has gotten 2 degrees. He had a bachelor's before he came to us, but the degree I speak of is that ring finger degree that he acquired during his studies with us here. He transitioned that and other transitions very well with us Benjamin, it's been a joy to have you in our classroom along the way. Benjamin's been one to keep me on my toes and let me know things I needed to know. Just enough boldness to send me the email when it needed to be sent. But Benjamin, our prayers are with you. It's been a joy to come to know you and to have you in the classroom. If you'll come forward, it'll be my privilege to give you your diploma.
Brother, congratulations.
Would you join with me in giving these men a round of applause? Seated. Well, it's my privilege at this time to announce our commencement speaker. He speaks at communion occasionally too, I suppose. The Reverend Meyer Mooney is no stranger to most of you. He ministers at our church in Trinity, Alabama, and he has agreed to bring an address this evening to those coming behind. I've thought a lot. It doesn't have anything to do with the gray hairs that are arriving on my head and the others that are leaving. But I've thought a lot in recent years, and particularly with regard to seminary work, about Paul's charge to Timothy, and then his charge to Timothy to charge others also. And you really see already in the New Testament scriptures the generations of ministers of the gospel. We don't believe in apostolic succession. We don't believe in such things as that. And yet, there is a continuity. There's a passing of the torch. There are years of serving together. And in our seminary, we seek to emphasize strong doctrine, systematic theology, but also the place of preaching. And so there's a big piece of their seminary training is preachers training preachers. And so, you men, preachers in training, we have a preacher to come and open the Word and bring a charge to you that we shall listen to and be charged by as well. Brother Mooney.
Very thankful for this privilege to come and bring the Word of God this evening. I had a little problem with my cap, you may have noticed. It came apart a time or two before we ever got in the building. Had another problem here. I lost the tassel. So, I'm a country boy, more used to overalls than these things. So, we will go on as we are. I am going to read the scriptures tonight from the Psalm 133. Psalm 133. This is one of the songs of decrees of David. And it is indeed one that shows something of his experience, even as he speaks by the Spirit in the psalm. So let us hear God's word. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless this reading from His holy word. Let us pray together. We come to Thee, O God, glad that we can call Thee our Father because of Thy dear Son. We do rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come into this world of woe. We praise Thee that Thou hast come to deliver us and to give us life more abundant. And Lord, we pray tonight that Thou wilt bless Thy word as we meditate upon it. We pray that Thou wilt bless these young men. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless us all, that the reality that is set forth here so powerfully in the psalm would be our aim and our experience. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt glorify Thy name. We plead the help of the Holy Spirit because of the speaking blood of Jesus. We pray in His precious name. Amen. As I thought about this great privilege of speaking to these young men in particular this evening, it was a great blessing for me to have the privilege of teaching some of these young men in their time of preparation for the ministry. And there are four of you tonight, and I couldn't get around that number because there are four men serving today in the Free Presbyterian Church of North America that studied here together under the teaching of Dr. Allen Cairns and Dr. Mark Allison way back in 1986 and 1987. And I'm sure that all of you young men were at that time thoughts in the mind of God. But I am so glad that I am one of those four men that have continued onward together for over these three decades. The other three are Reverend Kimbrough and Reverend Wagner and our brother Mark Fineout, who's not able to be here tonight. We have been through tough times together, and we thank God that we are still together in this work. We were not only four of us remaining together all these years, but we were the fourth class of the Theological Hall here in North America, Dr. Cairns' fourth class in the Theological Hall. And we look back with great respect on our older brothers that went before us, Reverend Mook and Reverend Bannister, that are still with us. And many of us have lamented the fact that so many that were with us in those days are no longer with us. But we do thank God especially for those that have come to stay with us in this work. And here you four brothers are tonight. And we are very hopeful of you. And we pray for you that you will be enabled to stand faithfully together with us in these evil days, even until we see much better days in the will of Almighty God. Now, reflecting on the four older men that remain, I ask myself some serious questions. And one of them is, why have we remained when others left? And I want to give you 3 points tonight, which are not my message. Okay. First of all, I believe that each of us had a very clear and inescapable call from the Lord Himself to serve in the free church. Some of us try to get away from that, but the Lord brought us back. And then secondly, each of us had come from other denominations, and as we surveyed them and various other denominations, even those bearing the name Reformed, we couldn't go that way. After years of observing other Reformed groups and even attending their churches, we could not in good conscience serve among them. And third, I believe that our staying in the free church was also affected by the caliber of the men that taught us in the Theological Hall. Dr. Alan Cairns and Dr. Mark Allison were not the type of men to begin a work or a ministry and then to stop partway through. They were wholehearted Free Presbyterians and not at all by convenience. Let me emphasize that. Not at all by convenience, but rather by firm biblical conviction. And so were the other Ulster men that came over to do what's called now as modules for us. Dr. John Douglas, what a privilege it was to see him preaching in London last Lord's Day morning, even in his old age. And Dr. Ian Paisley and Dr. Bert Cook. None of these men were looking over the fence for greener pastures while they were pouring their lives into our lives. I say all this just to praise God for the blessing of serving in the free church in spite of all the difficulties that the Lord has brought us through. I believe that we can each confess with old Rutherford, with mercy and with judgment, my web of time he wove, and the dews of sorrow were lustered with his love. I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned when throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Now, it might be a very faint similarity to the dear man that first pastored in this place. I confess these opening remarks are not exactly from a scripture reading, but maybe some connection. So we must conclude this evening with a few observations from Psalm 133. I do thank God for the unity among these four brethren that I have mentioned and among the free church that has endured over these decades together. So in the first verse here of this 133rd Psalm, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, here is something worth seeing. Here is something that is also very unusual. Sadly, many families and many churches are divided and shattered apart by quarrels, by feuds, by strife and malice. And didn't David know about that? Even in his own household, and even with his own father-in-law trying to murder him. Well, brethren, you think about this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Dwelling together in unity is so beautiful. It's beautiful to look at. It's a sight to see. But to experience it is even better than the sight itself. Dwelling together in unity is both good and pleasant. You know, many things in our lives are good for us, but we couldn't call them exactly pleasant. Many of our trials and troubles are not pleasing to us, but they are good, and they are good for us. Romans 8:28. And they can even be called precious, as Peter called them in his first epistle. But the unity of brethren dwelling together that way is both good and pleasant. Some things are pleasant, but they're not good, nor are they good for us. There are pleasures that are temporary in sin, but oh, what ruin! Oh, what devastation and evil sin brings with it. Dwelling together in unity is both good and pleasant and worth beholding. Dwelling together in unity, our gatherings as Free Presbyterian Brethren twice a year, and even those monthly Zoom prayer meetings, help us to dwell together in unity. But you know, when we think about meeting together in our meetings with our brethren, such times bring to us both joy and fear. We rejoice to be together in God's holy purpose and in His program. But we come together somewhat with fear and trembling because we know that God is going to give us more repentance of sin. But after all, Luther described the Christian life as living in daily repentance of sin. And who among us has even kept the first commandment? The commandments are so intertwined together that to be guilty of breaking one involves the guilt of breaking them all. James chapter 2 and verse 10. And we struggle, especially with that first commandment. Who among us could say that this day we have loved the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Not even to worry about our neighbor, but even our relationship with the Lord, which is so primary and vital. Well, such thoughts as this and coming to know more of God and His Word has served to humble us, to keep us bowing lowly together in the presence of our triune sovereign. And if extended times of praying together does serve to keep us together, to preserve unity, and not to boast at all. But I wonder, where are the praying men in America today? That's what I ask. But we thank God that we dwell together in unity. but not yet in uniformity. There is a great difference in unity and uniformity. And we look forward to dwelling together in uniformity when at last we are in that glorified condition. And we, as Free Presbyterians, we thank God that we are Free Presbyterians in taking that meaning in its original form, going back even to the Free Church of Scotland. We claim freedom and liberty from the tyranny of the civil government dictating to us in all our particulars. But we also have liberty of personal convictions about such things as eschatology and baptism. We love and respect one another even in our differences. Well, that's a short description of unity. But what is the source of our unity? Notice there in verse 2. You notice the first two words are added. But like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. You know, our unity is that which is found in the Lord Himself. He is the source of that unity. That unity is like the precious ointment, the unction, the anointing, the Christing of our head, our anointed one, our great high priest, the sweet anointing oil that was poured upon Aaron's head. It represented the outpoured Holy Spirit in His fullness upon Christ's head, unlike any of the rest of humanity. Our Lord Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. But you know, unity is the peaceful goodness of the Holy Spirit. We read of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Peace and goodness. And unity is the peaceful goodness of the Holy Spirit that flows from Christ, our head, down to all the members of His mystical body. You notice, down to the very skirts of His garments. This unity is for every member of Christ's body, the church. It runs down, it goes down to the very skirts. And it's our responsibility, every one of us, for we are admonished by the apostle in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, to promote this unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And how on earth could that be done? But in the immediate context, right above it, in verse 2, with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, that is patience, forbearing one another in love. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Yes, we believe in holiness. Holiness is one of the very things that attracted us to the Free Church. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness, yes. The highest of the divine attributes. But did you ever notice in that verse, in Hebrews 12:14, that we are first, we have a command given priority even before holiness itself, and that is to follow peace with all, not just men. Here is the divine command to follow peace with all. It's not separate from holiness. But even in the practice of holiness, a priority must be given. The conducting of our holiness must be through ways of peace and through peaceful means. Because this unity has its source in God himself. And finally, we see in verse 3 the fruit of real unity. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And what a blessing to command. Eternal life. Unity is illustrated here in this verse by the heavy, profuse dew that comes from the snow-capped Mount Hermon. Down upon the arid hills of Judea. Life-giving water. Life-sustaining dew for the vegetation. Picturing spiritual fruit. Not only does unity sustain and promote spiritual growth and sanctification, but it is especially productive in God's hand of giving eternal life. Do you see that? That there, this unity which is as the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion, upon God's people, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And what blessing? Even life forevermore. Eternal life. How wonderful. It is God's purpose to bless unity with the blessing of eternal life. Precious souls brought to Christ in such an environment of biblical Christian unity. Behold how good and how pleasant, far beyond any ability of man to measure. How good, how pleasant. Real unity has an eternal and an infinite quality about it. We cannot sum up how good and how pleasant unity is. Unity in the truth, dear brothers, promote it. Nourish it among yourselves. I'm so thankful for the unity that we have experienced over the decades. And as you promote unity and nourish that unity, you will both be blessed by it and you will be a blessing to others thereby. Biblical unity is good and pleasant in itself. It's good and pleasant to us. It's good and pleasant to the world. It's good and pleasant to the church. It's even good to those who dislike the church to see the beauty of unity. Such an amazing thing. An ancient king was on his deathbed. And he gathered around him all of his many sons. And there was brought forward to him by a servant a large bundle of arrows that had been tightly bound together in preparation for this moment. He commanded each of his sons to take that bundle of bound arrows and try to break them over their knee. Each of the sons tried, but not one of them could break it over their knee. Then the king commanded, "Loose the binding cords, and each of you take an arrow and break it." And all the arrows were easily broken. The king said, "My sons, so long as you keep together, you will be invincible. But if your band of unity be severed, you will easily be broken." May God help us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let us pray together. O Lord, we thank Thee for the blessed Holy Spirit. We praise Thee for the wonderful Spirit that attracted us to this denomination so many years ago. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us help, give us wisdom to nurture that same spirit of unity in going forward for Thee in these needy days. Oh God, give us help. We want to do right. We want to be pleasing unto Thee. Oh Lord, give us help, we pray. And bless these young men beyond any of the blessings that the older generation has known. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.
Standing for prayer. It's been a very encouraging evening seeing these young men come to this stage. I urge upon this congregation to pray for them. Pray very much that God will give them grace and lead them on and protect them and empower them for the service that they seek to engage in. There is a reception. We invite all to join in the other building down the stairs as we leave this building. But let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to be here, to have observed what has transpired, to see the years of preparation. And we know that we have an adversary. We have one that sought to sift Peter as wheat. But we have one who is our advocate, who said, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." We would pray and depend upon our great advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, to pray for these young men and for their wives. We commend them to God and to the word of his grace, and pray, O God, that thou wilt strengthen them and fill them with the Holy Ghost and with power, zeal to serve Christ and to strive for the unity of the church. Bless the food provided. Give us a sense of joy tonight as we look on in these prospective ministers of the gospel. And may our hearts be led heavenward in the joy that Christ is still sending forth preachers to preach his word. Bless the food provided and our fellowship together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with all thy people now and evermore. Amen.